Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. And today I'll be sharing more true ghost stories from the web. To find all things regarding Salcedo Paranormal, you can visit the main podcast page, which is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O. And that there you can find all the episodes, along with links to social media, ways to donate, and other ways to contact me. Whether you want to comment or ask questions about stories or episodes, or give topic suggestions for future episodes, or especially if you have any stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or someone you trust, I'd be happy to share those on the show as well. So, and you can always ask to remain anonymous when I share those stories. We can leave out names, no problem. So, but thank you all for being here, whether you're listening to the stream or the podcast version once it's out, or the YouTube video once it's out. I appreciate all support of the show. So, I have some stories here, and I will start reading them, and we'll go from there. I don't know, like I always say, I don't know if we'll get through all the stories I have here, but if we don't, that's okay. I'll just save them for next time. So, okay, this first one says, so this was back in October of 2011. My friends, and I take out names in these stories, so, says my friends, H, C, B, W, and M, were all planning to go on a spooky tour of an old abandoned barn. I planned a prank with W and M, and we told the group K is grounded and couldn't go, because basically I was always known for being grounded back in the day. M and W picked me up at my house, and I had a scary clown mask, and M was a volunteer firefighter, so I borrowed his axe. They drove me to the old barn, dropped me off, and said, okay, we will be back in 40 minutes. I'm just going to say, this sounds like a possibly bad idea in many ways, but anyway. Says, I had a fear of the dark at the time, but I dealt with it. A couple of times I had to duck in the grass to avoid being seen with the mask and the axe. At one point, a cop car turned on that road, and I dove down to avoid being seen. I played on my phone to ignore the fact that I was in the middle of nowhere in the dark, and at one point, a white blur walked past the road to my left. I thought that my imagination was tricking me, until I blinked, and then I blinked again. You know how when someone shines a flashlight in your eyes, when you close them, you can still see the glare? When I closed my eyes, I saw a picture showing a little girl in a white dress, in a white old century style dress with long curly red hair, standing in the same spot I was in, looking in the same direction. And the fence was the old type of, where it is, wobbly-looking wood. And the barn in the background. Immediately, I dismissed it as a huge hallucination, because I was atheist at the time. Anyway, I got the text that my friends were getting close, so I ran into the barn. They got out of the car, I banged on the wall to creep them out. They got closer, and I screamed bloody murder with the mask on and axe in hand, and chased them. They freaked out and ran back to the car. After a moment, they realized I was laughing with W and M, so they said, "K, is that you?" Well, after that, we all had our laughs. Lost my spot. Okay. We were in the car, and C said, "You know, when K was chasing us with the axe, I swear I saw a little girl in a white dress by the car." B froze and had a look of horror on his face and said, "No way. I saw that too." And I said, "Guys, I saw that before you ever even got there." And there was about 15 seconds of silence in the car until they changed the subject. So yes, ghosts are real, and it changed me from atheist to agnostic. So that's a scary story in a different way. I don't ever recommend those kind of pranks to anyone, but it's interesting that in the middle of a prank, they may have experienced some kind of paranormal activity. So, and it's one of those stories where it's either, I could see it almost being someone trying to write about, to basically fake it, to just mess with people who are reading these kind of stories, but just in the way that the people reacted after, then again, they were all kind of, when they actually saw what they saw, most of them anyway were also experiencing fear from their friend that was doing the prank. So, I don't know. That's an interesting one. To consider if that's possible for maybe this, if there was a spirit there of some kind, or some kind of being there, maybe they pulled their own prank. Excuse me. So, yeah, that was a good story. So I'll move on to the next one here. And we'll go from there. Okay. Alright. This one says, "I've heard this story a million times and probably told it in equal measure. It's a story about me, but it's not my story. My aunt has been telling me this story for as long as I can remember. I have vague memories of it happening. I was about 6 and had an imaginary friend called Sunny. I remember having strange dreams about him. My Aunt M wasn't really my aunt by blood. She was married to my Uncle Jay, who was my father's older brother." And just in case anyone's wondering, I kind of take the first letter of the names in these stories and go with that just to give a reference point. But anyway, it says, "Every Sunday she would go to the graveyard to put fresh flowers on her parents' grave. One Sunday she decided to bring me along to help out. As she cleaned the grave, I turned to her and asked if Sunny was buried around here. She went pale white, as if she had seen a ghost. She asked who Sunny was, and I told her it was my friend, who I dream about. She asked me to describe him. I told her about a boy in a gray suit who carried a brown book with him. In my dreams, I stood holding hands with the boy as he held tightly to his brown book. Excuse me. We watched quietly as a white coffin was lowered into the ground. I turned to the boy and asked him who was being buried. He looked at me with a sad glint in his eye and told me the boy's name was Sonny. And suddenly, I would wake up. It turned out Sonny was my grandfather's brother, who had died when he was 12 in a swimming accident when they were on holiday. My family never talked about Sonny. Nobody ever met him because my grandfather was still only a child himself when Sonny died. It wasn't a shameful secret or anything. It was just one of those things. He probably was mentioned, but long before I was ever born. The strange part of the story is when they buried Sonny, they buried him in a gray suit and with a brown book. And that's quite the story. That's quite the experience, having dreamed about a boy who sadly passed. And they're basically both, the writer and this boy, are watching what seems like the coffin that the boy was buried in, possibly, or inside, possibly, being lowered into the ground to be buried. That is quite the confirmation there, and quite the experience to have. I do think that there's a whole connection between dreams and the paranormal. And probably, if you want to put it more specifically, probably several connections. I feel like it's just all, once you're in different states of consciousness, including sleep or near sleep, sometimes you can connect to that, to whatever the paranormal is out there, whether it's, I don't know, whether it's other beings, other spirits, or the past, or in some cases the future. There's the whole out-of-body experience thing. I think they're all connected. And that's just an interesting example of that a possibility of that being the case there. So yeah, I thought that was a good one to share. Especially, I like how the story was written. I like when you get kind of one last really interesting detail at the very end like that. It's as a writer, I appreciate that, I guess. That's what it is. But anyway, so we'll go on to the next story here. And this one says, hold on, let me get some water here. But, and I may, one of these days, I may talk about more about my writing, in terms of my fictional writing. I might do a special episode on that sometime. Just because I've had some people suggest that I do readings from it. I'm not sure if I'd want to do that, but I wouldn't mind talking about my writing and how the paranormal has kind of, influenced that. I think it could be a fun discussion. Maybe I'll even see about getting another fellow writer friend or something for that one. Do a discussion kind of episode. I just kind of thought about that now, so we'll see what I can arrange. Okay. But, anyway, I will get to the story here. This one says, I had recently asked my grandfather if he had any ghost stories or stories of the like. One he told me was exceptionally creepy, at least to his standards. My papa was a painter, and one of the guys he worked with, who was certainly not the type at all to lie or anything, had told him and the other painters this once and then never again, So this, the guy in question, Kay, was cycling home one night during the winter from his work. Kay lived... Oops, I lost my spot. Okay, Kay lived in a very rural location, which was only really 30 minutes or so on a bike away from the town they all worked. His house was at the end of a 1 kilometer or so long road leading up to his house and his house only. This road had a dry stone dike at either side running parallel all the way up. When cycling, it had gotten pretty dark. Dark enough to still be able to see the house set way up ahead. While cycling up this road, he could see somebody walking toward him. He was confused, as it was only really him that lived there at the time, and nobody lived nearby to be visiting. This man fast approached, and just as Kay got near, the man looked at him and walked straight through the dry stone dike at the side of the road. Kay began to understandably pedal like mad to get to his house. Kay had then went to the police, and this guy he had seen matched the description perfectly of a man who had completely disappeared from that house 50 years prior and never been found. Certainly creepy and validated more so by Kay's no-nonsense nature. In these days, you wouldn't exactly tell stories like that to tradesmen. These are stories that, in the 50s, could potentially make you look like some sort of crazy person. And that's the end of that story. That's an interesting one. Whenever anyone just walks into a solid object, that's definitely odd. So, I don't know what to make of that one, other than it's interesting that the man appeared to look at the person experiencing this. I don't know. It's hard to say if that meant that the experiencer was seeing an actual spirit of that man, like a conscious entity, like basically the spirit of that person, or I don't know. It seems odd that would just happen at that moment. They would just look in one direction, right at in the direction where the experiencer was at. I'm using that word just because writer doesn't fit, because that's not the writer of the story. excuse me. But yeah, that's a interesting one. I love the confirmation. The stories with confirmation, in a way, to one degree or another, are always the most interesting to me. Because, like in that case, the description fit someone that had literally vanished, you know, in earlier stories tonight, you know, the confirmation of seeing the little girl, or the confirmation of the boy in the dream, you know, that was someone that the family knew way before the writer ever was born. So, that's always interesting to me. Anyway. I'll go on to the next story here. And, go from there. Let's see here. This one says, when I was 15, my uncle asked me if I could help him clean the church that he went to. Saying yes, I went with him on a Saturday morning. Before entering the church, he told me that it was haunted. I thought that he was just seeing if he could scare me. He told me to take off my shoes before entering, and we entered through the kitchen door. Walking into the church, we stopped under the balcony. He then knocked on the wall 3 times. That was when I heard what sounded like someone jumping down from a high place above us. Then I heard 5 or 6 footsteps that stopped by the edge of the balcony. For about 10 seconds, I didn't hear anything. Then I heard what sounded like boots scuffling on the floor, like someone was turning around. And then I heard the same 5 or 6 steps going back in the direction from which they had come. Thinking that my uncle was still trying to scare me, I ran up the stairs and searched all the rooms. There was no one there. And, sounds like, based on the description there, doesn't seem like there was any kind of outdoor entrance or exit where anyone could just leave. So that's maybe leads to it possibly being actually paranormal. It's interesting that it took a knock, though. That took the uncle knocking on the wall to get it going. That makes me think maybe it was something more, something or someone with intelligence that heard that somehow, or whereas it was aware of that, and somehow, or for some reason, made themselves known, and then went back into hiding or left again after. So, that's an interesting one. I do think that places that are where people gather and focus on one or more things, but basically focus on one kind of idea or one thing, I feel like those can be places where that energy can gather and or maybe even attract other energies. Maybe that means possibly maybe other beings, other maybe even other spirits, and that can lead to them being having activity. I don't even like to say necessarily haunted all the time, but I think that's an interesting story there. I wish the writer knew, or the uncle knew. Maybe the uncle didn't even know why any kind of folklore or stories behind why there was possibly someone there that would react like that. But good story, at the very least. So I still want to do a show specifically on places of religious significance or sacred places, and how the possible paranormal activity that would take place there. And I would like to focus on several different cultures and religions and groups, because I don't ever, I'm very much more interested in people being good to each other, that and getting together to help get to that point. I'm more interested in that than I am in any, you know, putting anyone down for their beliefs, as long as they're not hurting anyone. So, but yeah, interesting story. So, let's see here. Okay. We can get through at least a couple more stories. And this one says, growing up, one of my favorite things to do was sit down with my grandma and listen to all of her stories. Happy stories, sad stories, and even and everything in between. As a kid, my grandma was the best storyteller ever, and she would always be open with me. My favorites were her scary stories, and every one of these stories that she would tell me were true. My family has experienced a lot with the paranormal in the past, and this story is just one of many that makes me believe and respect the supernatural and what's beyond. One summer, my aunt and uncle from another state were planning to make the trip up to Michigan and spend some time with us and our other family members up here for a few days. They were planning on driving and would not get in until very late in the night, and were planning on staying with my grandma and grandpa. My grandma was such a sweet and genuine lady who felt that it was her duty to make sure that everyone in the family was safe at all times and doing okay. She would normally stay up very late watching her TV shows, so waiting for my aunt and uncle to arrive wasn't a big deal for her. As the night went on, my grandma heard my aunt and uncle at her side door talking and using their key to get into the house. All of my aunts, uncles, and my mom all have a key to my grandparents' house, their home, because no matter what you need, my grandparents' home is always open to family. So my grandma went ahead and pretended to be sleeping and let my aunt and uncle get settled in and then surprise them after. I guess it means to surprise them after. But as my aunt and uncle approached the living room to go upstairs to their guest room, something inside my grandma's head told her to not open her eyes. Not because she would ruin the surprise, but there was something there that she should not see. After a couple of minutes, my grandma got up from the couch and heard my aunt and uncle's footsteps and my aunt laugh upstairs. So she decided to just go to bed. In the morning, my grandma gets up and begins to prepare breakfast. And while she is doing that, she hears and then sees my aunt and uncle arrive through the side door with their luggage. Confused, my grandma asked them if they stepped out after coming by the house last night. My uncle answered no and told her that they ended up just getting a room at a local hotel since it was late and they didn't want to disturb my grandparents. She then remembered when she was pretending to be asleep to surprise them. Something told her to not open her eyes. My grandma knew then what it could have been and was happy. My grandma knew then what it could have been and was happy that something inside her told her to not look. And it says, until this day, we still bring up the story and wonder what it could be that made it seem like my aunt and uncle arrived this night and were in the house. My grandma has passed on, but her stories are always so comforting to bring up and talk about because we know she is still here watching over us, or watching over and taking care of us. So that's an interesting story. Sounds like maybe the grandma knew what it was, but didn't ever say for sure what it was. I have no idea for sure what it was. That's a lot of sounds to hear. And then have it not be the people that she thought. So either someone or something was faking all that, and maybe if the grandma had looked, she would have seen something that might have frightened her. I don't know. The only other thing I can think of, and this is one of those kind of way out there ideas, is that it was some kind of, I don't know how this would work, obviously, but maybe some kind of alternate reality kind of thing. Like, she kind of shifted somehow. Especially maybe if she was falling asleep. And she didn't, I don't know. She was kind of dozing in and out, maybe. Somehow she accessed some other universe where the aunt and uncle did arrive that night. I know that may seem weird if you don't kind of look into any of that stuff, but as I've said before in one or both of my episodes about my experiences with dreams, I do believe that sometimes when you're sleeping, you can see into other versions of reality or other universes, possibly. Because I had that happen a couple of times where I had dreams. And I'm not saying necessarily for sure that the grandma was dreaming, but maybe if she was starting to fall asleep, maybe somehow. Again, this is possibly a stretch, but maybe somehow she picked up on events happening in some other parallel universe where the aunt and uncle did get there that night. And then she waited until after all the sounds had basically stopped and then went to bed. And then, of course, the next morning, you know, the aunt and uncle did arrive. But either way, that's quite the event to have happen. So it's not even like you can say it wasn't an exact premonition of what was going to happen, because in the first run through of the experience, the aunt and uncle never talked to the grandma. But then obviously in the second one, they did. And so that's an odd story, but that makes it even more interesting to me. So let's see here. Okay. We'll get through one more story here today, and then I will stop and save the rest for tomorrow. So this last story says, "This started happening when I was about 16 and ended after about a month. My MP3 and speaker system, I didn't have an alarm or Bluetooth, would randomly go off at 3:14 a.m. So I started unplugging the whole docking station before I went to bed. When I did that, I would randomly wake up at 3:14 a.m. anyway, but drenched in a cold sweat. The hairs on the back of my neck would stand up, and I'd start to hear footsteps on the wooden floor in the hall. Someone, seemingly a man, would slowly walk up to my door and just stand there outside my closed door. No man lived at my house, only my mom and my sister. I could see his shoes on the inch gap between hardwood floors under the doorway, illuminated by the nightlight in the hall. He'd stagger right up to my door and just stand there, as if he was pressing his nose up to my closed door. I could hear the latch pressing against the strike plate of the doorknob. He'd just stand there for like 10 or 15 minutes, and I'd just be praying that the doorknob never started turning. I found it strange considering we lived in the rural outskirts of town at the time. This started repeating for a few nights. He'd return and do the same exact thing. I started leaving the MP3 plugged in, and it would still go off at 3:14 a.m. But the man wouldn't ever show up. I decided I preferred that over whoever or whatever was standing outside my door. And I don't blame them. That sounds like an easy choice there. Makes you wonder what, if anything, ever happened there at that property, possibly, at that time of the morning. Something, I don't know. There's not really enough details to go on to say what it could have been. But that is, that's interesting that no matter what, but only for that month, apparently, according to the story, according to the writer, that would happen. So, I don't know. That's an interesting one. I wonder, again, if it has something to do with something that happened before, or not. I don't know. Very interesting, though. It seems like some kind of energy was moving through that place at around that time. And if you denied it in one form, it took another until the writer kind of switched back to what they were doing before. And then eventually it stopped. So, but, yeah, that's an interesting one as well. All these are. I think that'll be it for today. And I'll be back tomorrow with more of these stories. And then I'll be talking about haunted cemeteries and graveyards on Friday. And then I'll be having a special guest at a special extra show on Saturday. And that'll be it for the week. So thank you all for being here, whether it's in the stream or listening to the podcast or the YouTube. And have a good night, and I will talk to you all next time.